This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, I think this is the one question to get right to it that everybody wants answered. Is this team going to get people on the ground better? And how do you figure that out here in Latrobe?
You know, that's our intentions. We're very straightforward in our pursuit of that. We drill it, but beyond drilling it, tackling is a part of our padded work daily here. We feel like that gives us an edge, a better baseline. Obviously, it needs to improve throughout these preseason opportunities when we go into stadiums, but we feel like we take a better baseline in the stadiums because of the nature in which we work. Obviously, it's also about the individual development of the men, off-season weight training, strength development, skill development relative to tackling here in this setting. So we've tried to check all of those boxes in pursuit of that.
You know, how much have things changed since you've been in the league? And it's been a while now, actually, though you're still very young. That it used to be, you know, people want to know you were 4-3, you were 3-4, you what? How much has the percentage changed of what a base defense is and what the sub packages are now? I mean, it seems like instead of, it used to be like 60% base, and now it seems like it's about 20%.
You know, I'm a dinosaur, believe it or not, in terms of change. When I came into the league, man, fullbacks were on the field the majority of the time on first and second down. They were. Fullbacks were dominant figures in football, man. Guys like Lorenzo Neal and others. Sub package is today's ball. It comprises over 75% of the snaps, regardless of down. 3-4, 4-3, those are less significant today. What's more significant is sub packaging, 5 and 6 DB packaging, because of what you see on offenses.
Because they are 7. Which we've seen. You look down on the field yesterday, for example, there's Hayward, there's Tuitt, there's a couple linebackers, Vince, I think one of the outside guys, and then all of a sudden there's 7 DBs.
No question.
Can those little dudes tackle? Will they be able to tackle against? Well, in other words, do other teams automatically check into a run when they see that package on the field?
Sometimes it's situational. You check into a run on 3rd and 15 and you get 12, you're still punting. So, that's, some of it's strategic. Some of it is to combat 4 and 5 wides, which is, you never saw when I came into the league. Shoot, you didn't see 5 wide out suited on game day when I came into the league. From time to time, you'll see 5 wide outs on the field. So, some of that is just, packaging, installing for strategy purposes for when those instances arise. I wouldn't read too much into what you saw yesterday in terms of 7 DBs on the field.
But we could see what, Charlie Strong comes to mind. I think Jeff Castile comes to mind, like a 3-3-5 umbrella stack like mm-hmm. that, because you have so many athletes that can go out and just try to out-athlete people.
It's no question. And that's been something that's been prevalent in college football for years, particularly in programs, mid-majors, that are trying to come up. They can get a lot of 6'2", 200-pound athletes. So, they created these hybrid positions to get those guys on the field. And also deal with the multiple offenses and things that they see. Guys that are good open grass tacklers, the read options and the RPO stuff create space plays in college football. And those space plays highlight tackling or lack thereof. So more athletes, more hybrid-like athletes on the field became an element of the game, and obviously it's become an element of our game.
Mike Tomlin joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. A couple more minutes with the Steelers head coach. I do want to ask you a question about Le'Veon Bell. Last year you said there would be consequences, and this year you kind of shied away from that a little bit. Has that changed, or is that just accepted that people know that there are consequences?
I just believe that it's accepted, and you know that there are. There's a reason why we come up here and work in this environment and develop individually and collectively. So when you miss that, there's consequences. And I just stated the obvious last year because it was our first venture into that realm. And I just felt like it needed to be stated. I've stated it less so this year because we've been there and done that. You know, I hadn't talked a lot about him because it's really not a lot to talk about. The two most important variables regarding Le'Veon is when he shows up and the level of conditioning, football conditioning he's in when he gets here. And until you have those two variables or boxes checked, discussions are mute. You know, I'm sure he's in great shape. He's in great shape over a 12-month calendar. But football shape is football shape. When he gets here, we'll see where he is and proceed from there. Until then, I'll focus my energies and attention on the guys that are working here. As I should.
But have you reached out a little? I think I remember a year ago you saying like you guys would text back and forth occasionally if you've been in contact with him at all.
Less so, but probably it's just because I've been focused on the guys that are here. And like I said, this isn't our first venture into this space.
Okay, I'm guessing the answer I'm going to get here is the answer is going to be no. But have you watched any of the Hard Knocks with the Browns at all?
Your guess was correct.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Would you? You guys have done a really good job of avoiding that. Would you? How would you? Welcome it? Or at some point, if you guys have to do that, would you guys? How would you deal with it?
You know, I just avoid the parameters that get you into that discussion. What are the parameters?
Just keep winning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. The parameters that get you into that discussion are not good ones, so I don't spend a lot of time thinking about Hard Knocks. I definitely don't set my DVR for it.
Let's talk about the defense just a little bit more in terms of play calling. Are you comfortable with what Keith Butler did toward the end of last season whenever, I guess you did state it, sometimes you grab the controls just a little bit. And how is that power delegated? The same way going into this year?
I'm extremely comfortable with Keith and, you know, how he calls defense and how he organizes and coordinates. And, you know, I'm very involved in it. I always have been. You know, we'll play it by ear like we always do. What we want to do is put good product out there and win football games. And by what means we come to that, we don't care. We've worked together for a long time, man, at four different locations now. It's pretty cool. So, you know, we have that depth and relationship where we're not sensitive to boundaries and so forth. I'd imagine we don't even approach it in that mindset.
Do you feel like Ben and Randy kind of have that same relationship where there's not necessarily a veto power, but you have two guys coming together?
You know, one guy plays, one guy coaches. So those are two very different jobs. They have a unique relationship, no doubt, because of their shared experiences. But, you know, we're going to let Ben play quarterback. We're going to let Randy coordinate the offense.
Since you're a dinosaur, quarterbacks calling their own plays, would you – I mean, have you – I mean, Ben's been around forever now. And are you more comfortable just at some point you say, look, you're down on the field and you know what's going on?
I'm very comfortable with Ben calling his own plays, less so with others.
You're like AB?
You know, no, with other cubes, you know. You know, as a blanket general approach, I'm not into that in regards to him, certainly. But you won't see Mason calling any plays.
We Colin and I talked about this after the first preseason game with the competition down the line in terms of the quarter. Like you obviously know what Ben can do, and even by you know what Landry Jones can do. You know what he is. He's been around long enough. Have you seen enough of him that you could get longer looks at Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs?
You know we're searching for that balance. You know we got to be fair to all parties involved. I'd rather have too many capable quarterbacks than not enough. We've struck that balance in the past, man. I remember years past, man, we've had, you know, Charlie Batch and Byron Leftwich and others here for a variety of reasons, Dennis Dixon along with Ben. Right now we got four what we believe are NFL-capable quarterbacks. We'll continue to work them. The fact that Ben is a seasoned veteran and we have a scheduled program in terms of how he works creates more opportunities for others and makes reps less of an issue from a four quarterback standpoint. So we're just marching and walking it day to day, and we'll continue to do so. We're comfortable with the distribution thus far.
Are you comfortable with the growth in Juju and how he can definitively be? And a number two is interesting to say, but AB is what AB is. Is Juju a defined number two secondary legitimate big-time threat in the NFL at this point?
You know, I'm not into the number two. I think he's a capable receiver that's an impact player. I expect him to take a significant step in all areas this year along with all second-year players. I think it's reasonable to expect that. These guys been a lap around the track. They know what this thing called professional football is. They've experienced it. He's experienced quite a bit of it and has had some success. He's come into this situation better prepared this year, so I think it's reasonable to expect bigger things from him. I know he expects bigger things from himself.
Do a guy like I know you don't like to talk about rookies. However, Quadri Henderson is a guy who's been in town, and I don't know if do you need a return guy per se, or does he have to prove that not only is he a capable receiver, but he has to be able to cover kicks as well?
You know, I think return guys always force themselves on you. You're never actually looking for them. They just, you know, they'll run their way onto your football team. You know, Stephon Logan ran his way onto our football team a number of years ago. So he'll be given an opportunity to do that. That's the chief means of him getting on the bus or making the football team. He knows that. We understand that. The other things supplement that effort.
Let me ask you this. More and more teams are going away from camp, going to their facility. And Jim and I talked about this the other day and said, I mean, we really think as long as somebody with a surname Rooney owns his football team, they're going to be coming to St. Vincent. Does this provide you an opportunity you think that you couldn't get on the South Side?
There's no question because, you know, there's those informal moments that you build on the things that you can't measure but get you out of a stadium. You know, last night after practice, we had a home run derby and a rookie show. And those things just don't kind of happen in those settings or they're less organic. You know, we serve snack at night after meetings, and guys sit out on the stoop and tell stories and talk about college ball and things of that nature, get to know one another. Those ties that bind, that create the brotherhood, that allow you to overcome adversity together, you miss some of that when you're in a training camp setting at your facility. And at the end of the day, you go to a hotel-like venue, or guys that have homes in the area go to their homes. It's just less informal time, less togetherness, more real world things. This is more of a, you know, a sterile environment, and it's just ball and the guys that are here pursuing jobs.
Just a couple more minutes with Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. What do you say to people who say that you got to run a tighter ship in terms of the discipline?
You know, I am who I am. I take my approach to discipline the way that I do. I'm never going to be somebody that I'm not. You know, I don't worry about the naysayers and the people that judge. I really don't. I focus my energies on getting this team ready to be a world championship caliber group, and my work or body of work will speak for itself. It always has. I've never felt the need to defend myself and don't intend to. I'm a doer, less of a talker. It's always interesting to me, and it provides opportunities for me as a parent, like, to raise my kids. I'd say, you know, in life, you're either going to do it, watch it, or talk about it. I prefer to do it, and I suggest you guys do the same because I want to have a positive impact on the people in my life and the community in which I live. So I don't worry about the talk.
I'm going to say, your kids don't hit you up with, hey, you let AB do this, why can't I do it? They don't pull that on you, do they?
My kids realize they're not AB. They don't make that many plays.
Last thing for you, Mike. Have you had a different vantage now, though, because your kids are getting older and your son is actually not all that far in age from some of the kids, the younger guys coming into camp? Does that help you understand maybe this generation, so to speak?
I think these guys have made me a better parent, probably more so than the other way around, because I've always been connected with the player, and now my kids are just coming into player age. So I think it's probably more the other way around, to be honest with you. I understand my kids as they get older and probably get into that mystical age group that parents don't understand. I probably got a leg up. I know that my wife thinks that I do because she's always like, talk to that boy.
Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. Mike, we thank you so very much. We know you got a busy schedule. As always, thanks again for joining us.
You know it. Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
All righty.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.